Okay, so just one last thing from last week. Last week we had been discussing, Gene wasn't here, it was actually his question, but Gene wasn't around. We were discussing why if tefillah is something shebelev, the Chovos Levavos had mentioned that the reason we verbalize is because since the mind wanders, therefore the mind many times will follow what we are saying, so the words are just there to help us to concentrate. So I found a second answer to this. And the reason why it's brought that tefillah needs the actual words is the fact that if we think of tefillah as a relationship, think of it as marriage, for example. A married couple, they get married, the husband loves the wife. If you ask any wife and say, you know, your husband loves you in his mind, but he doesn't verbalize it to you, she's not exactly going to be so thrilled. And what ends up happening is when the wife burns the food or keeps the house messy, that thought eventually starts to get replaced by resentment, by unhappiness, and the love ends up disappearing. And the same thing is with Hashem. When we're communicating just with thoughts, you know what? Hashem's not as real to us. So it's easy when things are not going our way and things are looking, you know, to us that it's going badly, to then get upset with Hashem and feel badly towards Him. But if we verbalize to Him and we're talking, and we're, you know, making it that there's someone here in front of me that I'm discussing, I'm working with, I'm talking to him, he's real in front of me, so that relationship is a much stronger relationship at that point. And therefore, just the thoughts are not going to be enough to help us with verbal, you know, with creating that proper relationship, but the words makes it more realistic and more real for us. And therefore, that's a second reason why we need to verbalize the tefillah, in order to help, you know, concretize and make it that Hashem's real in that we're having a real conversation with someone. So that was just to finish last week. This week I wanted to get into a little bit the fact that there's no one in the world whose life has not been affected by the quality of the tefillah that they have. But at the same time, we don't really appreciate or understand what tefillah is, even on a very simple level. And you know, we daven, we don't really understand why we're doing it, what we're saying, what the tefillah is going to accomplish. And we don't realize at the end that the more that we get involved in knowing what the tefillah is and the quality of our tefillah, the more that this tefillah is going to make a difference. However, the neshama inside us does know this power. And therefore, what happens in a moment of crisis, whether it's a personal crisis or it's a national crisis, what do we find? There's suddenly an urge to pour out our hearts, to daven with a little more feeling. Whether it's something in Eretz Yisrael going on, it could be something in the community, someone's parnasa, their health, children, there's a certain urge to turn to tefillah. But on the everyday, that passion seems to be missing. And the question is why is this? Why does davening seem not to have that feeling that we need? And I'll list some, and I'm sure some of you can add many more, but either we don't understand our davening, it's hergel, we come every single day and do it, it's boring. You know, it's repetitive, it's not things that I would necessarily, you know, want to verbalize myself. There are many times that we feel our tefillos are unanswered, and, you know, we're going through the routine, and I'm asking Hashem for things, but nothing's coming of it. And, you know, if nothing's really happening, and it's, you know, we're not so excited, so it's very hard to develop this passion. So, it's
because I think that tefillah becomes like a secular... Yeah, that we're tefillah is something when we need something instead of a praise.
Right.
There's a secular thing. Pray. You know, you need things. You go pray. I mean, this.
It's a wish list.
Yeah.
Right.
Something you need, so you daven. If you don't need, we fail to understand that it's not need. It's not for us. It's, you know.
Right. And we're gonna get into that somewhat either today or if we run out of time maybe next week. So one of the ways to make davening become more real to help it is, as we mentioned in the past from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, about setting up time outside davening where you work on it. And if you work on something, it becomes more real to the person as opposed to just, again, something I do. I get up in the morning, I go to davening. Hopefully, if I remember it all the day, I catch a mincha, get a marav at night. But it becomes something that's more realistic. Another way to look is what we look at davening. And a little bit, Gene was touching on this somewhat, and we'll touch on it some, and you know, in a certain focus, is that people feel davening is here to achieve what we need. It's what we want. I'm here to ask Hashem. I need this today. I have this going on. I need, you know, something else. But that's not what davening really is. The Mabit tells us, tefillah is a mitzvah, And it's no different than any other mitzvah, wearing tefillin, esrog and lulav, sukkah, shofar. It's a mitzvah like every other mitzvah. And just as we're rewarded for doing those mitzvahs, there's a reward for one who davens properly and fulfills the mitzvah of tefillah. And the form of this mitzvah is by praising Hashem. You then ask Him for your needs. And by doing that, we show Him that we know that our lives are in His hands. And as the Chovos Avovos tells us later in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, that the purpose of tefillah is not to change Hashem's mind of what we need, but it's rather to bring us to realize that our fate's totally in Hashem's hands. And the only way we can survive is based then on His mercy, on His rachmanis, you know, towards us. Now the Ma'abit continues and says, tefillah, though, has an extra component that other mitzvahs do not. Tefillah has a reward in this world also. And as we say in Eil Dvarim every day, which is the first Ma'ar Makom, we say, Eil Dvarim Shadam Ochel Perasherim Balam Azeri Karen Kerem Salam Abba. These are the mitzvos that have the fruits in this world, and yet the reward remains for the next world. And tefillah is mentioned twice, Vashkamas based on Medrash Shachris or Arvis, the ones that come on time. They're early for Shachris and Arvis. The in tefillah and the ones who, you know, work on their davening. So the Ma'abit says that besides being a regular mitzvah that we're accomplishing, where we're doing a mitzvah on a daily basis, you also have that possibility that you're going to have, not, you know, that the reward that you may get is the tefillah being answered, or some other reward where you're getting both in this world and in the next. And therefore, he says, just as we're so, you know, excited, it comes the esrig, we look for the best esrig, and you watch some of the people, the way they shake the esrig and lulav, the enthusiastic, you know, feeling that goes into it, with no thought of what that mitzvah is going to accomplish for us right here and now. So we should therefore approach tefillah, the Ma'abit says, in that same fashion. Whether it's going to do nothing, we're going to have no requests, you know, whatever we want, Hashem's not going to answer that. He feels we don't need it, whatever His reasons are, and we'll get into some of those, you know, at another point. But we should approach tefillah with that same enthusiasm that we're here to accomplish a mitzvah. We're here to do a mitzvah that we're going to get benefit both here and in the next world, and in that way, you know, help our tefillah is to grow. So why is tefillah so important? So the Gemara in Makkos tells us, and I'm not going to read this entire piece, but the, you know, just the underlines. Basically, Rav Samlai said there were shesh meos v'sholosh esrei mitzvos. There were 613 mitzvos that were given to Moshe, 248 aseis keneged eivarim, 365 los aseis. And Rashi just mentions that each eivar has a connection towards the mitzvah, and the reason for 365 los aseis is that every single day we have to be careful not to go to be over an aveira 365 days, and that's where those numbers came from. However, with the way the generations have been decreasing, the Gemara says, "But David v'midam alachas esrei." David cut down everything down to 11 mitzvos. The Gemara lists the 11 that he chose. Then the Gemara says, "By Yishayo v'hamidan al sheish." Yishaya came and cut it down to 6 mitzvos. Ba Micha v'hamidan al shalosh. Micha then cut it to 3. Chazo Yishayo v'hamidan al shnayim. Yishayo saw that, you know, first he had 6, and then the 3 from Micha, but even that wasn't good. He cut it down to 2. And eventually, Ba Chavakuk v'hamidan al achas. Chavakuk said there's only one mitzvah that's needed for Klal Yisrael to remain connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemer v'tzadik b'munasu yichya. The mitzvah is through having emunah with Hashem. And tefillah is one of the ways that one can be sure that he's going to have emunah in Hashem. Because by davening, what are we showing Hashem? We trust Him. We believe Him. We know that what we're asking is in His hands. And therefore, if we daven properly, therefore that's going to help us and be a basis for all of the other mitzvahs. And therefore, that's one of the reasons that davening is such an important aspect in our life. A second reason is the Ramchal in Derech Hashem tells us, and I'm going to read it and sort of read the translation that I wrote over from the English because it's a little difficult. But he says, "Inyan atfiluhu." He says, "The inyan of tefillah is kihineim and astarim shesidra achochma al yonuhu." That one of the conditions that were ordained by the highest wisdom, shelius hanevram mekablam shef l'menu yisparach, is that in order for a person to receive sustenance from Hashem, so tzarech he needs sheyisoru heim elov. He has to motivate himself, viskarvulo, and get close to Him, the yivak shufanov, and to turn to Hashem to request what he wants. Ukefi his harusam lo, kaini mashach naim shefa, and based on the amount that he puts into it is the amount that is going to get, you know, be turned to him. Vine Adam Baruch Hu Chofitz Verotzer Shetir B'Tovas Bruvachol's Maneim says Hashem wants, you know, and desires to give a lot to us. Veheichlam Avodazu Dvar Yom B'Yomo, and he set it up therefore that it's done on a daily basis. Shal Yada Yimoshechlam Shef Atzlach of a Bracha, in order that we can get the sustenance and success and bracha we're supposed to get. Kifim Hashem Shrichlam Fim Atzavim Zeh. According to the needs that are dictated by this, by our state of being in this world. So tefillah is what gets us what we're going to need. And he actually brings in the next one, which I photocopied, but I'm not going to read through, that even though as a person that we have to connect to this world, we have to go to work, we have to partake in this world, tefillah actually makes all that become, as opposed to a mundane matter, makes it a more of a holy matter. So it's something that, it's how we, you know, get what we need. What?
Tefillah makes it.
Not that it's not a mundane matter when we're working in that, but it makes everything that was still tied back to Hashem.
You mean because you daven for the success of what you're doing?
So I didn't go through the whole thing, whether it's because we're davening or it's just that that's sort of, you know, like if we're constantly plugged in, so everything you do has a kedusha. If you sort of detach, you know, okay, you know, I ran through my thing, now I'm on my own, you know, so what you're doing, then the world will have much more of an effect and it's, you know, it doesn't mean as much. But if we're working and we're plugged in and everything we're doing is back, you know, is back from Hashem, so that will protect us from the hashpahs, and that's what gets us what we need. And Rav Shimshon Pinkas brings, and is still in the introduction to Sharon B'Tfilah, he says that in the second paragraph, first by him, he says, "Bir hadavar shtei drachim yesh b'yisoda tfilah asogas manam and hashmayim." There are two ways in getting something from Shemayim. Reishas is Masha Rogelbav and Aseinu Kashitzarach Adam Leza Inyan. When a person needs something, Avol Mikoch Maisav is Chuyosav Einu Zakilcha. The person's not Roy, he's not fit to get what he wants. So, Al Yidea Tfila Shaper Yuchel Lahafik Ratzon Me Hashem, Lahas Mivakshu. So we turn to Hashem and we say, you know what, Hashem, I may not deserve it, maybe I do something's wrong, but you know what, I really feel I need this. So Tfila helps us for that. Aval yesh b'tfila yisod nosaf. He says there's a second aspect to tfila. V'umah sherogel b'sif ha'kmonim, it's brought in the kadmonim, sh'atfila hi ha'shar v'adelis or otzus ha'shamayim. Tfila is the key to the shamayim. Aydei ma'isav, skip. Pirish ha'dover. Sh'degamim zakei odom aydei ma'isav o'darkei chasto yisbarach le'ezer baruch yishu. He says even if the person is roi, he's fit to get this. And he's, you know, he's on the proper level. V'atova hu omin mucham ishvil, and Hashem has it, you know, signed and ready to go to him. However, lo yavolo hatova hu elo yidei tefila, without him davening for it, he's not going to get it. Shekachu inyan hatefila shi hashar shekol over darko. Tefila is the gate which everything has to pass through. Ubavlisha yava derek shar tefila yotushum davol pol, and without that gate opening, basically, nothing's going to happen. So even someone who's roy to get what he would like, if he doesn't ask for it, it's not going to happen.
And does that mean it'll never happen, or just won't happen that time he has the...
Sounds like that. It's just, it won't. Meaning that you can have Hashem, let's say, is planning, you know, that you should win the lottery. But if you never, you know, if you only spend your dollar, but you don't ask him to help you win it, you're not going to win. You know, so it sounds like he's saying, yeah, the only way to do it is the tefillah, which will open that gate, and then that, you know, what he wants to send you is going to be able to come. And he brings the Gemara Nida, which was the first paragraph, and I also copied the Gemara Nida for those who want to see the full Gemara.
First one where you're not roy. So if you get what you're not roy for, you're going to lose on the other.
Not necessarily. Well, there are ways that, you know, these type of things don't have to negate from somewhere else. We'll touch on that a little next week. But there are ways that it won't negate. So he brings the Gemara Nida. The Gemara Nida says, and it asks really three different questions. What should a person do? Mayas adam v'chakem. What should a person do to become wise? The Gemara asks the same thing as far as becoming wealthy. And the Gemara asks the same thing as far as having banim zecharim. And the Gemara there tells us that, I forgot who it was that was talking at the moment there, but the Gemara says that you should, as far as learning, you should spend more time learning and less time working. So the people said, a lot of people do that. A lot of people learn. They don't work as much, but they're not so successful. They don't have chokhmah. So he said that you have to turn to the one who has the wisdom and ask him for mercy to give you wisdom. And the Gemara tells us that what he's coming to teach us is you need both. You need the effort and the tefillah. And Rav Shimshon Pinkas just brings that the tefillah is the makish v'patish. That's the final blow that in order to, whether it's for chokhmah, whether it's to have wealth, whether it's to have banim scharim, without the tefillah, you could do everything you want, it's not going to happen. The tefillah is the, but without making any effort, it won't happen either. You need both, but the tefillah being the final blow, you know, to help it. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus continues, and he says, really, that's how everything happened. Ma'aseh Bereishis, the world was created, but yet it says when Adam came onto the world, there was nothing. And Rashi there tells us that everything was waiting right under the soil, and when Adam davened, it rained, and everything then grew. And he says the same thing was by Yitzchak. Even though Avraham was promised, you're going to have generations and generations, but if it wasn't Vayetelo Hashem, if he didn't daven to Hashem for children, that promised Avraham would have just disappeared. And he then continues and brings, he says the same thing was by the Gula by Mitzrayim. What brought them out? Vayizokol Hashem. When they turned and started to cry out to Hashem, that was what redeemed them. And he ends and his piece, he says, and that certainly is today that we could be doing, he says, a lot of things, whether it's, you know, learning, whether it's, you know, Maisim Tovim, Zechuyus, Yisurim, Siris Nefesh, but he says without opening the gate, none of these chusim are going to be able to bring Mashiach in today's world. And therefore, in order for us to want to get to the next, you know, get to the Geula, Tefillah is a very big ikker as far as that. And Rav Yaakov Emden brings in a Siddur Yaivitz that if Bnei Yisrael would daven even one tefillah properly, then we would be redeemed in an instant. So that's showed the koach of tefillah that the gula hinges on. And we see from that the just as rain causes flowers, causes trees, causes the grass to grow, tefillah is what causes Hashem to grant us what He wants. And He basically handed us the key to His storehouses, and it said, here. Take the key, use it in order to get what you would want. So that's a second reason why tefillah is so important. A third reason is that we daven in order to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not just, you know, as we mentioned earlier, just a wish list, but it's to build a relationship. And therefore, even if we don't get what we want, we didn't waste our time. Because the request might have been denied, but the purpose of tefillah was accomplished. It was to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in doing that, you know, that's what we did. We elevated ourselves. We spoke. We were talking to Him. There's a conversation going on, and if we do it with sincerity, then the tefillah will be answered also. And any time in life, not only during tefillah, but any time that we sit there in a moment of crisis and we turn to Hashem with real feeling, and, you know, we ask Him to help us through that moment, whether it's something at work, whether it's something with children, whether it's something at home, whether it's something, you know, wherever it might be. Many times people have, they're in a rush and they need to find a parking space. And you turn to Hashem, you say, Hashem, help me with the parking space. And sure enough, the parking space opens. That's a connection we made to Hashem. Now, there's a story that goes with that, where one time someone turned to Hashem in that situation and asked Hashem, help him with parking, and sure enough, a car pulled out, and he said, okay, Hashem, I don't need your help. There's a parking spot here for me anyway. But even those 30 seconds where we just say, no, Hashem, I need you for whatever it is, that is tefillah. And when we, if we just come into tefillah and we say, I have to do it because it's the morning, I got to daven my shachris now, I go through the motions, I put on my tallis, my tefillin. So we're not really, we may say the words, and we may spend that half hour or 45 minutes, davening, but we're not really connecting to Hashem at that point. And if we don't express what's really in our hearts, then all we're doing is just lip service. And there's no connection. And in order to have a true connection, we need to have our hearts in place. And the Gemara tells us that Hashem set the world up in such a fashion that we need to daven so many times a day is because we want to build that relationship. And the Gemara in Yuma brings a mashal of a king that gave his children their allowances on a daily basis. And the Gemara there says that really he could have done this once a year, twice a year, but he wanted to set up in a way that he knew his kids would turn to him on a daily basis. And those who either are still close enough to being in Eretz Yisrael or going to a sleepaway camp, or those who have kids who have been there, certainly know that when does the phone call home come?
Money.
I need money. I need you to send me something. So therefore Hashem sets up tefillah that it's on a daily basis. He doesn't want us just to reach out. Dad, I need something right now. Can you send it? So davening, therefore, is the vehicle in which, we build our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in, And it becomes a reality as opposed to something abstract. And if he then will put us many times into situations or hold something back that we want in order that we grow closer to him. And we'll get into a little bit later that part of the reason Kriyas Yamsuf happened was because Hashem missed Klal Yisrael's tefillah. They left Mitzrayim. They stopped davening. It's okay. I'm done, Hashem. You helped. We're ready to go. So Hashem created the Yamsuf, you know, where Mitzrayim is going to come after them in order that he hears from them again. So therefore, sometimes Hashem's putting us in a situation where he's saying, you know what, I miss you. You know, I miss that relationship that we have. And therefore, if we start our day with this real relationship with Hashem through our davening, our entire day will be a different day, you know, as we mentioned a little from the Derech Hashem, because we're constantly connected with him in everything we do. Therefore, we'll have something to it.